Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come and study your word together. Lord, thank you for this Sabbath. Thank you for watching over all of us. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for keeping us in good health and strength. Thank you, O Lord, that you've blessed us this past weekend. If we can't think of one blessing, I just pray that you would please jog our memories. Help us to remember the wonderful things that you have blessed us with this past week. And now, as we're about to open your word, help us to focus. Lord, I know that it is so convenient to be anywhere and doing anything, but I pray that as we come to study your word, we would give you the reverence that you deserve. We would give you the honor that you deserve, and we would give you the attention that you deserve. So please, be with us now. Guide us, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, and we are looking at the last few verses of this chapter. Matthew chapter 5, please turn with me your Bibles. Follow along as we start there in verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so we're brought to the conclusion of Matthew chapter 5, and it says there at the very end, be ye therefore. That is a conclusion. That's summing up everything that we have just read in this chapter, but more specifically in those previous verses. What is the conclusion that Jesus tells us? This is not a prophet. This is not any human being. This is God Himself telling us this. Be ye therefore perfect. Now, if Jesus tells us we can be perfect, surely we can. Of course, not in our own strength. You know, sometimes when we look at this word perfect, we get nervous. We get a bit agitated sometimes. Are you telling me that we can be perfect? No, I'm not telling you. Jesus is telling you. And He would not give us an unreasonable height to attain to. He would not give us a standard that is unattainable by the grace of God. But how? What does it mean to be perfect? Well, in these verses, from verse 43 to 47, it's about what? Loving your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Seriously? We have to love our enemies? Well, that's a catchphrase, isn't it? We know this as Christians already. But when's the last time you blessed somebody that cursed at you? Friends, when's the last time you did good to those that hated you? At most, we just avoid them, isn't it? When is the last time you prayed for those that were your persecutors? Usually our prayers are, God, help me to withstand the persecution. But it doesn't usually just stop there, does it? We usually go to other people and say, I don't know why this person is persecuting me. Can you believe it? I don't know what I've done. I don't know what I've done to deserve this. It's so easy to start to gossip, isn't it? But yet Jesus says, pray for your persecutors. Those that are intentionally wanting to do you harm. What did Jesus do to his enemies? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And we're starting there in verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. How did Jesus treat his enemies? Romans 5 verse 6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, friends, when we weren't even looking for Jesus, when we were out there in the world, when we were living in darkness and loving that darkness and doing the works of that darkness, Jesus came and he died for every single person. Never mind just a righteous person. This is the ungodly person. That is you and me. Let's also go to Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. How did Jesus react to his enemies? Luke 23:34, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here we see Jesus praying for his enemies. What did Jesus say about them, though, in this text? Did you see it? It says here, "Forgive them, for what? They know not what they do." It's almost as if Jesus is giving them an excuse. They don't know what they're doing. What does that sound like? It sounds like ignorance. If you don't know what you're doing, it's because you're ignorant of how to do it or what to do. So Jesus, when he prays, forgive them for they know not what they do, it's almost as he's giving them an excuse as to why they're doing what they're doing. It's like they are deceived. Isn't that an interesting perspective to look at those that are persecuting you? Even though it seems like they are doing it intentionally, you've got to look from that standpoint that the reason why they're doing it is because they don't know any better. So look, if we do this, if we are able to pray for those that are persecuting us, if we are able to do good to them that hate you, if we do this, what does Jesus say we are? Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Friends, what is the characteristic of God's children? What are the identifying marks or the fruits of the true Christian, one that follows God? It's not they go to church every week. It's not that. It's not they pray every day. It's not even that. Whilst these are important things, that's not the fruit of the true Christian. It's not they give their tithes and offerings. It's not they wear shirt and suit and tie and everything to church. It's not that. It's not they have a certain type of diet. It's not that. The Bible here says that if you are able to love those that hate you, you are the children of your Father in heaven. Have you ever experienced persecution? Have you been treated unjustly and unfairly before? How have you reacted? Have you been able to love that person back just the way you love your friends and your family? You know, where else do we see in Matthew chapter 5 where we are being called the children of God, or the children of our Father in heaven? Let's go earlier to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew 5 verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called," what? "The children of God." So, children of the Father, children of God, it's the same thing. So, if we are peacemakers, we are the children of the Father in heaven. Now, consider this. The last time we studied, and maybe, you know, granted we did not record it and we've not been online about this, but when we studied this beatitude earlier on, we looked at peacemakers. What is a peacemaker? We talked about how there were two groups of people and the person would come in and make peace between the two groups. It's like how Jesus came in and made peace between us and the Father. So that's what a peacemaker is, to reconcile, to unite again. But here's the thing, there's two groups. But in this context that we're looking at today, right, who are the two parties that need reconciling? It's you and someone who hates you. You see, if you're able to love your enemy, Matthew says, or Jesus really says, that we are called the children of our Father in heaven. And we see that at the beginning, in this beatitude, the children of God are those that are peacemakers. Now, what is the peacemaker? Making peace between two parties. But who are these two parties in this story that we're looking at today? It is you and the person that hates you. Do you see that? It seems easy to be able to make peace between two groups of people when you're not involved. You're the neutral party. Oh, come on, you two, just forgive, just let it go. Don't make such a big deal out of it. It's easy to say that when you are not the party involved. But here, one person hates you. The person is trying to hurt you, to kill you, to do you harm, and Jesus says, love your enemies, that you may be called the children of your Father, which is in heaven. If we are able to reconcile us with the person that hates us, he's our enemy, not because we hate them, but he's our enemy because he hates us. Then you can be called the children of the Father in heaven. Look, you may not have the problem with him or her, but they have the problem with you. And we need to be proactive in bringing peace between you and them. You are a peacemaker, but in this case, you are the party that's being persecuted. And you still got to make peace. But let's continue. Matthew 5:23. These are parts of Matthew 5 that we've already studied. Matthew 5:23, the Bible says this, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. A person has a problem with you. A person is hating you. A person is wanting to persecute you. They have the problem, not you. The Bible says, leave therefore thy gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. That is talking about loving your enemy. Make peace between you and them. In our context, not just loving your friends, loving your enemy. We have to be proactive in reconciling the relationship that we have between us and the person that does not like us. Do you understand that? That ye may be called the children of God, that you might be considered a true Christian, that you might be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But what's the illustration that Jesus gives? Let's go back to Matthew 5:45. It says there, if you're able to love your enemies, in verse 45 it says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Friends, God is not partial. He makes the sun to rise on the good and on the bad. He makes it to rain on the good and also on the bad. He didn't treat anybody differently after Adam and Eve sinned. He didn't change the way that the sun would rise. He didn't change the natural course of earth and just destroy it. No. When we sinned, God still allowed the sun to come up. He still allowed the moon to come around at night and the stars to still shine. So, friends, when it's talking about loving your enemies, here Jesus is saying, it goes more than just, oh, I love them, but how do you treat those that don't like you? How do you treat those that seem to have a problem with you? How are you reacting? The reason why we treat people differently is because we see with our eyes, we hear with our ears, we feel with our surroundings and our hands and our senses are able to pick up all these things. And we usually change based upon circumstances that are surrounding us. So, you don't treat me nice? I don't treat you nice. You don't speak nice to me, I don't speak nice to you. So we are reacting based upon how people are treating us, and Jesus says, that's the wrong thing to do. Hey, easier said than done. I, many times, have been called a reactionist. I react based upon how people treat me. I react based upon how people talk about me. And when I hear that this person has been talking about me this way, it's hard to even see them like a normal human being, never mind a person that we can love. But God is saying, He makes the sun to rise on the good and the bad. He makes it to rain on the good and the bad. Friends, we cannot allow circumstances to change us. And, you know, all these things that I'm talking about, it seems like impossible. How can we not allow circumstances to change us? How can we not allow people to change us in how we treat them? Jesus is telling us that we must learn to be the same under all circumstances. Whether it's raining, whether it's shining, no matter what is taking place, we got to learn to not allow circumstances to master us, but we must learn to master circumstances. And friends, I'm not sitting here like I am an innocent party. I'm not sitting here like, yes, I don't treat people like that. I've always treated people equal, whether they hate me or whether they love me, and anything in between, I've always treated people good. No, friends, I have failed miserably. And Jesus is setting before us a very high ideal. He's telling us to be perfect. It's something that we cannot do in our own strength. But you know, how often have we allowed rough treatment from others to bring out the bad language or the rough treatment back to them? What is our justification? They deserve it. If they can treat a person this way, they shouldn't be surprised that they are treated the same way back. Have you ever spoken like that before? I know I have. You get as much as you give. Right? Whatever you give, that's what you get back. And so, what does that sound like? What does it sound like? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. All the things that Jesus has been teaching in Matthew 5 are now coming to a head here in this lesson that we're looking at this evening. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Love your enemies, friends, because if you don't love them, you are like giving an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They treat you bad, I treat you bad. You speak this to me, I'll say it back to you. You deserve it. You do this to me, I'll react. And many times we react in a negative way. Friends, how many people have left church simply because of what a Christian has said to them when they came in? How many fightings have taken place because of what people have said to others, even in church? People have left and gone to another church. They've withheld their tithe and their offering. They've said nasty things back. They've gotten up and spoken up in the middle of church services and screamed at people. They've been cursing Christians. Oh, friends, I've been one of them as well. So many times we react based upon how people treat us, not on how the Bible teaches us. You know what type of thinking this is? Let's continue Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know, if we give an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, if we don't reconcile, if we're not peacemakers, Jesus says, you know better than a publican. How did the Jews view the publicans in those days? Let's go to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. How were the publicans viewed? Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. They called them what? Sinners. Sinners. So, these people, the publicans were put in the same category as the non-righteous, the wicked. Let's go to another Bible text. Matthew 18:17. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." Do you see what is put together here with the publican? It is a heathen man. Heathen. A person that doesn't know God or doesn't believe in God. If you do not love your enemy, you are no better than a non-Christian. In other words, what Jesus is saying, the mark of the true Christian is loving your enemy. Because if you love those that love you, if you treat those that treat you the same, you're no better than the worldly person, because the worldly person does that. The Christian, how should they be different? Love their enemy. When someone curses at you, bless them. When someone wants to hit you, do good for them. When someone is purposely persecuting you, pray for them. Do unto others what you want to do them to do unto you is many of our mottos, isn't it? And, you know, it's something that I've caught teaching my children. The reason why your brother's like this is because you're like this. If you want him to be better, you got to be better. You see? That is really the natural principle of life. But Jesus is saying, no, loving your enemies is totally opposite. Because doing unto others what you want them to do to you, it may sound Christian, but really it's a heathen practice. You're no better than a pagan. Do you see that? You've got to love your enemy. You got to love those that don't love you, that don't treat you as nice, that don't say as nice words to you. They don't pray for you. They are going out of their way to hurt you. You have to show them the love of Jesus. Look, what Jesus isn't saying, okay? He's not telling you to go hang out with them, like how you would hang out with your best friend, okay? Jesus didn't mingle with his enemies like how he would mingle with his disciples or how he would spend time at Lazarus and Mary and Martha's home. He's not telling you got to treat them like you treat your best friend or how you treat your parents or how you treat your friends in terms of the time that you spend with them. But what he is saying is, how do you react to them? You should react to them in the same way that you react to family. You got to treat them with dignity as well. You got to speak kind words to them as well. You got to be able to love them as you love those that love you. You can't be partial. Do you see that? That is the mark of a true Christian, friends. But what is the reaction that is evoked when you see them? How do you respond to harsh treatment that's poured upon you? So, Jesus is telling us not to be reactionists. Or at least, if we are to be reactionists, we've got to react in the positive way, isn't it? We've got to be able to still love them, even though they're rude to us, even though they're cursing at us, even though they're unkind to us, even though they give a gift to everybody at the table except you, you still got to love them and treat them with the love that anybody deserves, from the greatest of sinner to the greatest of saint. So when Matthew tells us to be perfect, what does it actually mean to be perfect in love? To love your enemies. But you know, there's a parallel passage to this. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is found somewhere else in another gospel. Let's go over to Luke chapter 6 and verse 36. Luke 6:36. This is what the Bible says. "Be ye therefore" what? "Merciful as your Father also is merciful." Why is mercy so important? Friends, it is one of the main characteristics of God. Do you know that? Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3. It's a familiar text, although we don't turn to Lamentations very often. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. Lamentations 3:22. The Bible says this. Why is mercy so important? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Friends, God's mercy is new every morning. Every morning when we wake up, because God neither slumbers nor sleeps, but every morning when we wake up, we find new mercy fresh from God. And friends, if we are to have the love of God that is able to love our enemies, we got to renew that mercy every day. Why? You might say, yes, 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 I forgive you, but the angry feelings might come back after you leave. And so you've got to tell yourself, I forgive them, I love them. God's mercy is new every morning. Let's also go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Why is God's mercy so important? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, if we are to be merciful as our Father is merciful, or if we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, we need that fresh anointing of His grace every day. Where do we find it? At His throne of grace and mercy. And we will find grace to help in time of need. Friends, you can't love your enemies. It's impossible. The natural response is to hate them back. The natural response is to react in a negative way. I've not met any person yet that is able to do this in their own strength. We can only be overcomers, and to be able to love our enemies, only as we go to the throne of grace and mercy every single day. To get grace to help in time of need. What sort of help? It's not just now overcoming my sin, but it's being able to forgive those that have hurt us. You're not able to do it in your own strength. And you're able to, and you realize that this is not difficult, and it's something that your parents have taught you. Friends, I have news for you. It's not your parents. It is the Holy Spirit. They've prayed for you, your parents. Friends, we've got to love our enemies. We got to be perfect, as our Father in heaven is perfect. We got to be perfect in love. Why is love so important? Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Let's go there. Romans 13 and verse 10. Why is love so important? Especially as we are looking at it in this context. Romans 13 verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is what? The fulfilling of the law. Friends, if we love our enemies, not just our friends and family, if we love our enemies, we will not even think that one jot or one tittle of the law has been changed. Do you know that? Because love is the fulfilling of the what? The law. And we saw the changing, the non-changing of the law, how the law is still relevant to us today, that not even a jot or tittle has been changed earlier in Matthew chapter 5. If we loved our enemies, we would be fulfilling the law and not breaking it. If we love our enemies, you know what, friends? We're called children of God. We're called peacemakers. If we love our enemies, we would be salt and light to the whole world. If we love our enemies, we would not be angry at our brother without a cause. If we love our enemies, we would not give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If we love our enemies, Jesus says, "You are perfect like my Father in heaven." If we love our enemies, the world would be filled with the glory of God, His character, and this gospel would go out quickly and with great power. If we loved our enemies, we would rejoice and be exceeding glad in time of persecution. If we loved our enemies, not only those that loved us, Jesus would soon come and take us home. Friends, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so what was Jesus doing? He was giving us a picture of the spirituality of the law. You see, the Pharisees, they knew the Ten Commandments. All the Jews were taught to memorize that, and really the first five books of Moses, they were taught to memorize at a very young age. They knew the letter of the law. But we got to know what the spirituality of the law is. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. This is what the Bible says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Friends, when are we partakers of, pardon me, when, I gave the answer already, when is his glory revealed? When we are partakers of Christ's suffering. Not just simply because we are suffering. You know, some of us, we go, oh, I'm being persecuted, I'm suffering like Christ. Yeah, the suffering is part of it. But in the light of what we're looking at today, you know, the question isn't so much, are you suffering today? The question is, how are you reacting in your suffering? Is the suffering making you a more bitter person? Is the suffering making you more sarcastic? Does the suffering bring out the worst in you? Yeah, you've been persecuted for quote-unquote righteousness' sake. But here we get an extra step beyond what we see in the Beatitudes. You know, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Yeah, I'm persecuted. Oh, yay, I'm in good company. That's not the point that Jesus is making here at the end of the Beatitudes. If you are going through suffering, my question to you this evening is, how are you reacting? How are you responding to how people treat you? To what people say about you? To what people do to you? In front of you and behind your back? It's not the suffering, friends. It's the response to the suffering. Let's keep going. 1 Peter 4, 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Don't suffer because of evil things. If you suffer because of evil things, like you murdered somebody and you're in prison, you shouldn't be rejoiced and be exceeding glad for that suffering. You deserved it. You've got to repent. But if you've done nothing wrong, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. You need to glorify God. How do we give glory to God? We reflect his character. Friends, how do you respond in suffering? Does the glory of God come out when you are being persecuted? Does God's character shine out of your life when you are going through difficult times? Tribulations, distress, loss of a job, loss of money, loss of a friend, loss of a loved one, persecution, people hating you, trouble on every side. You know, Jesus, he was stalked by the Pharisees, the soldiers, the lawyers, the scribes, the Sanhedrin. Everybody was hot on his trail, and at times they tried to grab him because of the things that he spoke about. But how did he respond is what we should be looking at. Not, oh, I'm just persecuted for righteousness' sake, and that's it. No, friends. This evening, how do you respond? How do you react? There will definitely be reactions. But the question is, how do you react? I hope in a positive way, in a loving way, in the way that Jesus would respond. But friends, how can we be perfect? How can we have this love today? It's too high. It's too holy. How? In the context of Matthew chapter 5, we have to go through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, blessed, blessed. That word blessed means happy. It's steps to happiness. Those are steps to being like our Father in heaven. Perfect. Those are the steps that will allow us to see God face to face one day. That when God appears, it says that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Friends, when Jesus appears, we don't get transformed in character, we are only transformed in body. Our characters are retained. The time of character testing and molding and chipping away those other bad characteristics, it's now. Friends, even as a pastor, I've responded negatively to people. Let me be honest with you, and this is dangerous to be honest online. You don't know who's watching. Maybe even your enemy, right? But you know, I'm ashamed to say that even as a pastor, I've cursed. As a pastor, I've responded to negativity with negativity. As a pastor, as a person who preaches, and as a person that's traveled to preach, and a person who's been in ministry, meant to be pointing people to God, when people have treated me bad, I can give as good as it gets. You treat me bad, I'll treat you bad. You speak bad about me, it wouldn't be difficult to speak bad about you. And friends, Jesus is telling us, we got to be different. We got to be different today. And so Jesus, He tells us in Matthew 22:37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and prophets." You know, friends, love, it's the two hooks that hang the whole Bible, the whole scriptures, the law and the prophets. And you know, when Jesus says, you know, throughout Matthew 5, He says, "You have heard that it has been said of old time." He says it five times. "You have heard that it has been said of old time." And you know where He was quoting from? He was quoting from the Old Testament. In other words, what He's saying is, you have read in the scriptures, it says this. But I'm telling you something different. Not because it's different, but because you lost love. You lost the character of Jesus. And so instead of praying for those that persecute you, you revenge. Instead of being reconciling, you hold anger and bitterness and hatred in your heart. What was the spirituality of the law? You see, the Pharisees knew the letter of the law, but they didn't have the spirit behind it. They didn't have love. It's that simple. Love is the fulfilling of the law. On these two, love God and love man, hang all the law and the prophets. God needs to help us, to love. Not being angry at our brother without a cause. We can't do it without God. Not lusting after a woman in your heart. We can't do it without God. Not lying. Our communication being yea, yea, nay, nay. We can't do it unless God helps us. And not revenging, but going the extra mile and loving our enemy. Friends, we can't do it without Jesus. And if you think you can, you have another issue that's just as bad. It's called spiritual pride. But friends, more than anything else today, we need the help of Jesus to teach us to love, to teach us how to react in a positive way, that we might learn to love our enemies. Friends, may God give us the strength and the ability to love under all circumstances. I want to have that love today. That is really the revelation of God's glory at the end of time. So I pray. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for all of you. All of those that are watching now and all of those that will watch later. We need this one thing. It's His love. It's the Spirit of the law. It is the Holy Spirit Himself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, all we've come to in this lesson is realize that we are helpless without You. We think we love because we have people that can speak good things about us. We think we love because we have many friends. We think we love, but Father, I pray that You would pull aside the curtain and open our eyes and help us to see, Lord, that we really don't have the love of Christ as we ought to as yet. Help us, Lord, not to just be quiet under persecution and go away holding anger and bitterness and hatred in our hearts. But Lord, help us to have the character of Jesus, that out from our hearts, no matter what we receive, we can give back blessing. We can do good works to our enemies. We can pray for them. And we can bless them ourselves. Lord, please, help us to pray for our enemies. Not those that we hate. For Father, there is no room for hatred in our heart for anybody. But it's those that hate us. Without cause, without reason, please, teach us what it means to love as Jesus loves. I pray that You'd give us Your Holy Spirit today, O Lord, especially on this Sabbath day. Help us to rest from our works. Help us to realize that we can't do it unless You come and help us. So we just surrender our lives again to You today. Continue to watch over us, guide and lead us, and bless us, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.